Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me today in the studio is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Sean Finnegan.
Hello.
And Miss Team KK via Skype. We are so excited to have you. How's your day going today?
Man. Fantastic. I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, anytime. On today's show, we're actually going to be talking about some of the faction rally things that are going on right now. It's basically the last one of season two. We're going to be talking about the meta discussion we had last week, PvP versus PvE, and we're going to be talking about how Bungie is going to be punishing quitters soon, and I'm very excited about that. So let's talk about this behind-the-scenes clip that we posted right off the bat. You guys had a conversation about PvP versus PvE balancing. CJ, what was the topic, and how did Sean win that argument?
Oh, there it is. Yeah, of course. Well, I mean, he won because that top comment got posted very early into the YouTube section.
But I won because my argument was logically sound.
Oh, there it is. No, we were basically debating about how, you know, why does it take Bungie so long to do the updates? The part where I basically was like, okay, we're going to go into this is when you're like, ah, oh, it's easy. You know, they just need to do a PTR. And I'm like, whoa, what are you talking about? It is not easy. They haven't, you know, there's been constant kind of upheaval about the lack of meta update or, you know, how long does it take? So, yeah.
Well, they do need to integrate a PTR, but that's not the point.
Right.
Like, first off, I want to tell the audience, like, these aren't arguments, you know?
No.
Like,
these are just,
yeah, like, all of
that's
us are super,
wrong about.
Yeah. All of us are super passionate gamers, and discussions like these, that get really into the nitty gritty of design and, like, perception and, balancing and all that, we have these discussions all the time in the office about all sorts of games. So well, it's not an argument.
Let's bring Miss Team KK in on the discussion. What did you think about the topic? And CJ, what was it for context for her?
Yeah, I'll give everybody a little bit of context. So we were discussing how, Sean was basically saying he liked how, 343's been doing updates lately where they articulate a problem and what they're doing to rectify it, which my main argument was that's great within a, you know, a sandbox update that doesn't introduce content or new weapons or armor that changes the aspect of the game. Mm-hmm. Big challenges with, I think, Destiny is you have a game that's trying to do two things, PvE and PvP at the same time, which was the basis of my argument. Yours was, well, regardless of that, they should be able to articulate what specifically they're adjusting and probably do it a little bit faster, for the most part. And so, again, for those people who posted online, there was a mix of both. I mean, I will say that, and I kind of agreed with you in the middle of the discussion, that I do think Sean is right in that it should be done a little bit faster. And I think a lot of people agreed, but there was not a complete consensus, oh, this way is absolutely right, and this way is absolutely wrong. And that's what the discussion was based around. So, yeah, Lauren, like, you got a chance to watch the clip. What did you actually think?
Tiebreaker, Lauren, go.
No, I mean, I think you're right in the fact that trying to change the meta around all these hundreds and thousands of gun combinations is nearly impossible. But by making it so equal and or balanced, it's boring. No one wants to have one gun that, you know, is the same as every other gun in that class. Like, you could use almost anything. There wasn't there's no desire to go find that high caliber round or a hand cannon with the perfect roll, which is not balance in essence, but it's what makes Destiny fun.
Yeah,
it's grinding to find that perfect gun that you want to use. And it's not, it is technically a meta, but you still had to have some type of, there was a skill gap there with hand cannons like that in D1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You, not everyone could use that gun, but if you were good and you had it, you were almost unstoppable, which was fun.
And often Zura would sell that weapon, or you could earn it in a fairly easy manner in the game, which is why people like made wikis or how-to videos about how to earn those particular items.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Like, I'm going to say something pretty controversial right now.
Oh, really?
Here we go.
The most balanced Destiny has ever been was during the Last Horde and Thorn era. Like,
that's
the way I look at that, because everyone used Thorn or Last Horde, and they countered each other effectively for a primary.
Mm-hmm. But that was my counter argument. I was like, so you have hundreds of thousands of variations with random rolls, and literally, and a couple of people corrected me, like, oh, CJ, there was Hopscotch Pilgrim, there was this and that, and there was other weapons to compete.
There's always some exceptions.
There was something. But my main point was, but you have 500,000 combinations, and then you have like 2 to 5 for like a primary, 2 to 5 for a secondary, and 2 to 5 weapons for your power at the time.
So
heavy.
I don't mind that. That's more fun.
Is there anything wrong with that?
Yeah. It's more fun.
No, and that was the other thing. That's where mostly I think people are not understanding. We're not disagreeing with each other. We mostly all enjoy Destiny 1 PvP. And like you said, Lauren, like it does, it feels better, but I think the question is, why did they do this for Destiny 2? And that's what I'm trying to understand.
Small note before you guys continue about the random rolls. The Thorn and Last Word era, random rolls weren't necessarily in the game yet.
They were not.
Those were king. So you just had basically static rolls from what you could get at the vendor.
So look at it from the perspective of a player who wants to attain those things, right? Like if you're going into PvP and you recognize that everyone is using Last Word or Thorn, it creates an incentive for you to want those exact same weapons if you plan to be competitive. Now, you don't have to. You can play with whatever weapons you want, but there's a reason that the good players and the most competitive teams are using those weapons, right? So if progression is your thing, if you want to play competitively, you have to get these things. It's that chase that makes Destiny fun. And then who knows? You get the weapon and 3, 4, 5 months, ideally not a year like it's come to be.
That's the issue.
But 3, 4, 5 months down the road, the meta shifts again, either as new weapons are introduced or maybe they say, hey, this meta is too imbalanced and not fun. And they make a call based on player feedback and then they change it. But the shifting idea of the meta always changing, that's what meta is. There's no such thing as if your gameplay just stays the same for a year, that's not the meta. That's just the game. And that's not like meta implies that it's always shifting. And I just don't think that I think that the fact about Destiny 2 is that it shows that Destiny developers balanced PvP towards this more casual and accessible equal level of playing field.
Huge mistake.
Which is less fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was just a documentary about Warframe. Sorry, go ahead, Lauren.
I was just saying, you're right. It's boring.
Definitely. Yeah, there's this documentary about Warframe and how they were talking about how do we make our game more accessible to the casual players because they log in and they see this overwhelming menu and they have to make that consideration. But after a while, it's like, who are you going to cater to, the 1,000-hour player or the player that's going to come in and
make? Yeah, so for context, I saw your tweet about this. The clip is from Daniel O'Dwyer's No Clip documentary about Warframe, and it's just a minute and a half clip about how the developers address what are two different philosophies of game design, right? Either, and I'm being a little reductive here, but this is the gist of their argument, which is that do you try and balance and make gameplay accessible but less interesting so that it appeals to a wider audience? Or do you bet on your most hardcore audience even if it's inaccessible? And the example they used was, a new player will log in and look at like the talent trees and stuff.
They're
and
like, I'm out.
It looks like total nonsense, right? That idea that you're losing out that player, but that is so valuable to the person who's going to put 1,000 hours in, that's the type of player I am. I've always said I hoped Destiny made it more of a gun skill game and then doubled down and made deeper RPG mechanics. And that's because that's personally what I wanted from it, and it just looks like they went the other way. Or worse, they tried to go the middle route and ended up doing neither of them both either way.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So let me ask Lauren this. If you could today make a decision and have Bungie revert to some time in Destiny 1, that style of game, would you do that, A, and then which time period?
Yes.
Last word. Like immediately?
Give me back my last word and my longbow, and we're good to go. Well,
yeah.
Not then, but but if we could combine both those eras, 100%. Because that was fun. Like, I've always been a competitive player, and if anyone has ever watched my content, that's what I did. Is I was trials all the time, PvP. That was my grind, and I absolutely loved it, and I was decent at it. And then once D2 came around, everything was just boring. No gun is exciting. There's nothing I really need to have so I could use in PvP that I'm grinding for. There isn't a certain role that I know will give me an upper edge in an encounter. And fighting in general is boring with the way that health is regened and all that, and people hide around corners. They're hiding, it's not encouraging one-on-one fights. Mm-hmm. It's encouraging people to dip out of fights and run away, and it's just not nearly as fun.
So now that we've all agreed that CJ lost the argument, let's talk about the update that's coming next week, Tuesday. So update 1.1.4, they're adjusting the sandbox of PvP, basically. And they're going to be making a lot of what sound like positive changes. Now, you propose, CJ, sort of a fun question. What if it breaks everything?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, when Destiny does that is when people have the most fun. My example that I used when I didn't lose was Vex Mythoclast, which again, I don't know if how early did you get that weapon very early into Destiny 1, Lauren, when you were playing Vex?
No, I didn't. No, everyone else had it and they were just destroying in PvP. And
So then did you get it after the nerf?
After, yep.
So this is really another part of my argument is that there's something to be said for when you find out these power weapons exist and you're chasing for them, like Vex, like Galahorn, like Hawkmoon. And again, we'll talk about Hawkmoon not being available to the Xbox players for all year one. When that happens and then you finally obtain this weapon because there's RNG, didn't that tick you off that you got vexed and then it was nerfed because they were adjusting some of these things?
It had to be nerfed.
So yeah, that's the
it
thing
did.
Is, yes.
Yeah, and they nerfed it pretty quick too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did.
Like, yes, I can understand the frustration, but there's a difference between like a gun that you're pursuing because it's good and it's the new meta versus a gun that's just blatantly broken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we kind of had that in Destiny 2 when Lens was destroying everything.
That's right.
It's like, that's not right.
Promethean Lens. And so you know when that happens, and I'm not advocating that I think Destiny 2 is a better game. I love Destiny 1 PvP. Mm-hmm. I'm saying I think that a lot of these decisions were made because they listened to complaints of the community early on with some of those things, because people are going back and saying, oh yeah, I mean, Destiny 1 was great. It's like, no, everybody was complaining about the meta all the time in Destiny 1.
But it's because they cared and there was still the audience there.
Also,
Destiny 2, everyone's just left. They're like, I'm done.
Also, people will always complain. You have to do a good job of separating what are valid complaints from actual player feedback that is meant to be constructive. And guess what? Broken weapons, that's also part of the meta.
Yep.
Sometimes the devs get it wrong. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's an issue. Sometimes they don't foresee one thing being as good as it is. And they also have to make the call, like, is this broken or is this the meta? And I am not a dev, so I can't speak to how these decisions get made. But, like, I think generally people like 343 and Blizzard do a good job of letting something sit either in PTR or in competitive play for a little while we suss out whether or not it's just broken or players just whining about it. Because guess what? The best players will always find a way to counter the meta if it can be countered. Mm-hmm. And then if they can do that, it proves it's not broken. It's just the meta. But if it can't and the game stays like that for a year, then it's broken.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about one of the positive changes out of the update this week. They say that starting in Destiny update 1.1.4, the competitive playlist will also feature a quitter penalty per the dev team.
Yes.
Because the competitive playlist disables join in progress, leaving matches early for any reason can ruin people's games. Starting in 1.1.4, we are adding a system that can issue temporary restrictions 30 minutes in length for habitual quitters. Good.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? Why wasn't this in there since the beginning?
Exactly.
Like, I think that's really privileged of me to say, but I'm glad it's coming at least.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the worst part about it is like you have two playlists. One, it's not called casual playlist, but quick play, and then one called competitive.
Yeah.
And what is the difference between them?
Like the game modes, survival.
I mean, the game modes, but nothing in terms of the competitive play, right? So a penalty. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, like, what are you saying? The game modes are totally different. So,
but I'm saying, like, in terms of what dictates that this is a competitive playlist.
Oh yeah, it's
nothing.
It's
well, one note:
no
is,
stats, no MMR, no KDA, no medals, no anything like that. Like, I'll give the competitive playlist what competitive players want, which is those things and penalties for people who quit
rewards
or troll.
Correct. And two more notes on the competitive playlist. They say, if you're entering the competitive playlist, make sure you have a solid connection and proper time to complete your matches. On our side, we're also increasing security measures to improve the Crucible environment as a whole, which means no more disconnecting.
DDoSing.
Yeah, it's been bad since D1.
Yeah. And so real quick, Lauren, did you play Destiny 2 a lot early on? And which did you like playing? Did you like playing the quick play or did you like playing the competitive mode?
Well, competitive just would get frustrating because if someone leaves, then everyone else on the other team leaves. You just everyone wasted their time. I think that the fact that there will be a penalty now, if someone leaves on my team, I'm more likely to stay and try to fight it out, even though I'm down a person, which makes games a little bit more interesting. I played a lot of Trials in the beginning of D2, well, once Trials were released, and that was the most frustrating thing, was constantly getting kicked from games or having someone, having our whole team get kicked and
no
all
boot
those
system.
Things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I missed the boots.
Yeah, me too. So between Survival, because I always now need to call it Trials of Osiris versus Trials of the Nine, they're very different. What did you think of the countdown mode or just Survival in and of itself as a gameplay mode?
See, I preferred Survival. I didn't really like Countdown that much, which I'm kind of on the opposite side of the fence of most people with that one. I enjoyed the more objective-based modes, but I prefer original. I really do.
Trials of the Nine, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine there's
Trials of Osiris.
I can't imagine there's anyone out there who prefers Trials of the Nine to Trials of Osiris, at least. Yeah. I can't wrap my head around why. But, like, yeah, I'm kind of on Lauren's side here, which is, like, I came to tolerate Countdown, but to me it's just kind of, like, the lesser version of Counter-Strike, round-based. Mm-hmm. I didn't like – because in Counter-Strike, it's still attack, defend, right?
Yeah.
But you're not alternating every round. You play 15 rounds on one side, 15 rounds on the next.
Yeah.
And that's great because it gets you in this mindset, like you execute these strategies and tactics for this style of play while attacking, and then you can adjust if things aren't working and stuff, where it's like – if you're attacking one time and then it's like, oh, that didn't work, and you immediately want to try a different tactic, well, guess what? You're on defense now. Time to change up your play style.
Yeah.
And then Survival, I liked in theory until people figured out that it really just became a standstill after a long period of time because of the TTK and because of team running and team shotting. It just ended with like, the first round of Trials with Survival, did you guys find all of your rounds coming down to like the last few seconds?
Yeah. Yeah,
because that was what.
Well, because you'd have a standoff, and then it would turn into
because the goal, the goal becomes don't die,
right?
Yeah,
like unnecessarily instead of get kills or you know eliminate the other team. I think both of those modes in theory work well, but for Trials, it just didn't seem like the right fit. I want modes like that in competitive play where it encourages more.
Yeah, there's different game
interesting
modes,
tactics,
kind of things to do. Yeah,
I enjoyed playing them at first, but once I realized that I'm not having fun doing that, I'm fine with just quick play because I'm gonna get disconnected. Trials of the Nine isn't fun because every game, I swear, somebody gets booted in the card, and I'm just like, I'm not gonna waste my time. I'm not gonna do it anymore. I haven't played Trials of the Nine since like the first month.
But see, like, wouldn't it be fun if because I'm a solo queuer in Halo. Like, I play mostly by myself unless there are other people around to play. And I like this idea of playing like alone, like playing alone and competitive, right? And in Destiny, I do that just so that I can see the number on my competitive emblem go higher.
Yeah, right.
Like, I like to say, like, I like to brag, like, I have 150 competitive wins before I stop playing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think there are a lot of players.
You want rank, then. You'll play solo
rank. Oh, I mean, how many times have I said this on the show, right? Like, I want MMR. I want skill-based matchmaking. I want ELO rating. I want stats. I want medals. Like, just give me all the things that they put in Halo 3 in 2007.
Yeah.
Like, it shouldn't be that difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people are talking about PvP because the update is going to focus heavily on that sandbox. In addition, though, it should be noted that we are getting some Nightfall updates. And here's what they say about the Nightfall specific drops. Each terrible villain that players face should have a very rare and powerful unique item themed to them that tumbles to the ground as they collapse into a pile of bones. Last week, we gathered feedback from the community on how the community would like to discover these rewards, either through a quick tease here on the blog or from those among you who wish to be the first to show off their newly found loot. We'll be watching legends unfold as these rewards are enjoyed by players and hope many among you enjoy discovering these items via gameplay without being spoiled. Good call. Thank you.
Yes.
I want to find it out myself by running all the strikes and as a community, as opposed to Bungie just, here's everything that's going to be in the game. Cool. Well, like, I don't need to chase that then.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. We talked about that a little bit last week. Lauren, what's your feeling on that?
I mean, even then, that's not exciting enough for me to be like, all right, well, I think I might boot back up and go do a Nightfall. Like, because the desire of needing any certain loot in the game is completely lackluster and gone for me. The idea of finding something that's mysterious, I'm just like, well,
Yeah.
And it's not enough to bring me back, per se.
What about in May? Do you think that will have you interested enough to at least check it out?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think so.
Do you enjoy the PvE content equally to the PvP?
No. I'm definitely a PvP player, and all of, you know, from Jump D1 I say the first 6 months, I was definitely PvE. And then once that content got a little lackluster, I started doing a lot more PvP. And ever since then, that's kind of been my hangout area in D1 and D2. Mm-hmm. That being said, if they were to release, you know, a new raid or some content that was similar to the raids we saw towards the beginning of D1, I know I would be back and I would be grinding and I could find a way to fall in love with the game again. Because PvE is ultimately what keeps people playing. And then I feel like they naturally have a paradigm shift that goes towards PvP once that content isn't quite as entertaining, which is what I think should happen.
What are you hoping to see in May then?
A raid.
Yeah.
It's not a puzzle. I don't want a puzzle raid. I want a raid that is mechanically challenging in a gun skill way, not completing a puzzle or playing Scrabble or something. Like, I want something that I need to have good aim. I need to have good teammates that know where to be and where to position themselves in those type of encounters in order to succeed.
What if the team at Bungie is like, scrap the Scrabble encounter?
Yeah. I guess we can't do that now.
I mean, this is why I actually place, like, Wrath of the Machine as a raid, like, pretty high up in terms of my enjoyment level. That final Axis fight, like, that wasn't like, you had to figure out a puzzle, right? Mm-hmm. But it was largely based on how fast are you at shooting and running and jumping and reacting quickly. Yeah. Like, yes. There wasn't any of that in
Vault of Glass.
What is this Dark even Glow. Called, the new raid?
Leviathan?
Yeah.
Leviathan.
Eater of
Worlds. Yeah, like that final encounter.
Argos?
I remember.
Argos or Kallus?
The Emperor. Yeah, Kallus.
Kallus,
fake Emperor. Like, I remember that encounter being interesting the first time, but I was, like, super angry about it because it was very glitchy for me.
Gotcha.
And just, like, still is, yeah. I mean,
what's your chess piece?
But, like, from a...
oh, yeah, that.
When you're, you know, it just didn't feel challenging enough to be killing ads in the room, and when it didn't feel challenging when you're in the ethereal plane to, like, shoot the things, like, once you knew what was supposed to be happening. Whereas even if you know what's supposed to be happening in Axis, there's this element of you still have to be able to run and jump and shoot fast enough. Like, it's a skill oriented thing. I just think they got rid of almost all of that in the PvE content.
So it's funny that you say that. I mean, I will say that I did enjoy the Kallus fight in and of itself, because I thought it was very different from anything else that Destiny had done prior. And so the communication that was required, the fact that, like, you saw different things on each player's screen and then you had to figure that out. Like, the first time of doing that, I thought that was amazing. Like,
I mean, it's cool.
You know, and so I hear what you're saying. I think that they go back and forth between that. Now, it's funny that we are all saying this. I think the biggest lacking feature, there's not enough bosses in those raids, right? And the same thing with Eater of Worlds. Everybody wants...
You gotta shoot the dogs that don't move.
That's right. That's, a lot of people are not a fan of those
or
dogs.
Or they just glitch out and chase you from the other side of the map.
But I think there needs to be a balance, you know, with even Taken King. I think Taken King is the right sort of size, maybe a little long, but there's a combination of... Yeah, the raid. Yeah.
I like Taken King. I like that final
I actually think Good. King's Fall might be the best straight overall.
It has the most balance of activity-based type things and bosses puzzles and everything combined. But it's a very long raid. It's interesting.
Always my favorite.
You like that? Yeah. I mean, so it's interesting to hear you also say how, you know, you played the PvE, obviously, when it's new, and then you would shift to PvP. That was me. Like, I never played PvE really at all. If the first 4 or 5 months, I think I even played Crota more than Vault because I came into it at that point because I was searching for certain weapons. But I always kind of said that PvE, you know, PvP is the end game. You take the stuff that you acquired in PvE and then go play in the Crucible for three or four months. So, for you, if Lauren, if the March update here in a few days on the 27th makes the game feel totally different in PvP, then how do you think you'll feel about it?
I think it would bring me enough. I'll go back and try and see what it feels like. Yeah. And I'd probably still play a little bit and maybe put it in rotation a little bit more if I am enjoying myself. But even then, I think it'll take May, whatever, if that is when the content drops is in May, it'll take a big content release in order to keep me playing every day.
Let's actually make that the last question of the show. I think we've kind of covered off on all the topics this week, mm-hmm. but I do want to ask you, and Lauren, I think you already just gave your answer, but do you think March is the make or break update for Destiny 2, or do you think the May content drop update will be it? Because
May.
For me, you're saying May. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. No, sorry. No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I agree with you. I think May is going to be pretty make or break for Destiny. People will continue to leave if that is not interesting content. We'll see that spike that we regularly see, but if it's not engaging, they will bail. This update is like setting up for that. Everything's been setting up for May, and then everything after that will set up for the fall, the big fall update to get players back in. And it will be May. March will bring some people back. They'll bring back the PvP crowd, possibly some people that'll be chasing the gear. But on the internet, I'm hearing people say that like that is make or break for Destiny. March. I disagree. I think it's May. What about you, CJ?
So I think it's March. As a PvP guy, to me, it's like if the systems aren't in play that makes the game feel fun for a lot of people coming back to PvP, I think they could release all the downloadable content in the world. And, you know, people are just going to go, well, you know what? I played March. And unless they decide to introduce another roadmap that includes maybe, you know, more dedicated tweaks, I think there'll always be the casual people who come back and play the DLC just to play through it, and then that's it. Like, I don't think it will hold people into the game the way Destiny 1 did.
Yeah, but March 27th doesn't have marketing associated with it.
No, it doesn't, but the people who are into Destiny are waiting for that PvP fix, I think, versus right now. You know, we played through, and I mean, for the most part, I don't know about you, but I've grinded through most of the weapons in, you know, the Osiris DLC. I'm at one more left of the quest, and most people are in.
I don't care. I'm in
agreement. Yeah. They don't really care.
Yeah, I got the shotgun.
Yeah. That they thought those weapons weren't worth grinding for. And I think that's the thing, right? If PvP becomes fun because of this update and maybe tweak some of those weapons or the TTK, I think people will return versus if it doesn't, unless they decide to do that again and May releases a whole new sandbox of weapons that maybe then increases TTK because there's new weapons out there and new armor, then, I mean, that's it, right? So it is a wait and see thing. But yeah, for me, March 27th is probably the bigger of the two.
All right. Sean?
I don't know, man. It's really hard to say. I think it's alarmist to call either of them like the make or break point. Like, I truly believe that while we sit here in our journalist / personality / show host, whatever streamer bubbles, that we have like a really close and maybe in a way myopic view of the game. Like, yeah. I think like yes, there are a lot of problems with it. Yes, a lot of the core people are unhappy, but like, I honestly think Destiny is too big to fail on the strength of one update or two updates.
Yeah, yeah.
I do think that the March update will probably bring some of the most curious people back. I think that a big stepping stone will be the May update. Like, I think like I think if that's a bust, then you're really in a hole until you basically relaunch your game. Later this fall, but I don't think Destiny is ever dead.
No, you know? I don't think it's dead, but I think when people talk about it within the context and saying that again, Lauren, I mean, you as well streaming, how often have you streamed Destiny? Like, when you look at the Twitch numbers and when you look at the community engagement, that's what people are referring to.
yeah Well, I think the March update The biggest thing is if you're trying to fix things for people who are playing the game and giving back feedback, it's for the people who are playing the game. The biggest issue right now is there's not nearly as many people playing the game as there used to be. So I think that update is really catering to those that are still playing, but it won't be enough to necessarily bring people back. It'll keep those that are staying dedicated to your game happy and more likely to purchase content down the road. But I think it truly will take new content, a fresh, what feels like a restart, to bring people like myself and other people who played, you know, I had 5,000 plus hours on a single console on D1, and I played on every console. to bring me back to D2. This is a band-aid for the people who are playing. Mm-hmm. I need new content to come back.
This will get the hardcore PvP enthusiasts back to check it out, possibly the PvE enthusiasts to check out the new weapons, but I think it's going to drop off really quick. I think May mm-hmm. is a chance to bring in all those people plus a new player base, and that's why I lean more towards May personally.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think...
But you're right, Sean, though. It's not going to die, but the numbers are tremendously low.
Like, it's 90... Like, truth be told, I think there's like a 95% chance that the March update drops... Either Lauren's right and it's specifically for the people playing, or I'm right and maybe the most curious people come back, yeah. but you don't see a huge fluctuation. Then you have the May thing come out, which is...
Everyone will be talking about that.
Everyone will be talking
positive
about it.
Positive or negative.
Yeah, yeah, or positive or negative. But guess what? Most likely it'll be all right. Mm-hmm. Like, not terrible, not great.
It won't be Curse of Osiris.
Yeah, it won't kill the game, and it won't... It won't be the Taken King.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what we're really looking at in terms of make or break moments for Destiny as a whole, as a franchise, even outside, I think is that fall update. Like, if you screw up that one, then you're really in the grave for a long time.
Your next time's not until like Destiny 3.
Honestly, if you mess that one up,
yeah,
like you're looking at Destiny 3. I think.
Destiny 3.
And like, how would you even market that? Like, after you flub it that bad, it's a very difficult
new title. Don't call it Destiny 3. Yeah. I don't know. Like,
three.
Yeah, no, number three at the end.
This is the last thing I'll say. I got to give a couple shout outs to people who are engaged in our discussion. But
Sean's right. Cool.
No, not so quite. But it is interesting. I mean, I will say we are kind of, you're right, in a bubble in a way where we're representing most of the people, I think, who feel not so connected to Destiny 2. There are some people who like Destiny 2 better from a PvP standpoint. I am not one of those guys. I like Destiny 1 PvP way better. So do you know anybody, Lauren, I'm going to pose the question to you, who actually likes Destiny 2 better than Destiny 1?
Yeah, like people who I'm, you know, friends in like in real life that, you know, would pick up the game on the weekend and play for a couple hours and that's it. They're not big gamers. They maybe dedicate 5 hours a week to gaming. I know that they still enjoy it.
Yeah,
because they don't need to put as much time and effort in to do little things, and they're not big on making great accomplishments. But when it comes to a content creator standpoint, I can't think of one person who would prefer, that I know of, that prefers D2 over D1.
So it's really weird. Like, we don't take that side. And I think what's odd, you know, just right now about having a show called Fireteam Chat is, for the most part, we're talking about the negative sides of Destiny. And I mean, for the most part, in year one.
I said I'm excited about something.
No, I know. But you know what I mean? Like, it's weird how now we're kind of at this point, because everybody's saying that, oh, you know, it's, you get in this really weird spot where you want to advocate for Destiny, and we all, I think, love the lore and love what the game means and from a community standpoint, but it is really difficult. And most of the people that I know who are enjoying it are casual, in the sense that they do not feel the need to spend 5-6 hours a day on it, like, you know, like I did. And like,
I could literally do everything on Tuesdays.
And I've seen this comment in Reddit. Yeah, Destiny's become a Tuesday and a Friday game.
I mean, that shouldn't affect our opinions, though, right? Like, our opinions are opinions, but we just have to make sure that we're contextualizing them with this knowledge that we're not speaking for everyone. We're speaking for a particular type of player and content creator.
Yeah.
Because
here's my opinion. I haven't had a reason to log on for 2 weeks.
Right.
Yeah. And well, this goes back to my philosophy, which is like, I think just on a grand level, this isn't even just about Destiny, right? Like, I think every games developer should balance their games and design their games for their most hardcore fans. Mm-hmm. Like, cause those are the people who evangelize the content. Those are the people who are going to spend the amount of time and resources it takes to make quality content, which then further encourages the community, which then builds the community, which then creates more content creators. It's just this positive feedback loop that Destiny 1 had, right? Like, how many hours of Destiny 1 did you play, CJ?
2,200 or something.
2,200,
like that.
Destin. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're around 1,200. There too.
And I'm the least of y'all, which is, I have 850. Y'all. Lauren, I'm sure you probably had
5,000, she said.
5,000 on one console.
That was just on PS4, and I played on PS4 the least. So.
Yeah, so like, and here I am burned out at 125 hours. Like, yeah. Clearly something's wrong if you're me, the hardcore player, the content creator. So, I mean, maybe Bungie's not interested in that.
Yeah.
And they might not be. I don't know. I'm not a dev. I don't work at Bungie. I don't have insight. Maybe we should ask Jason Schreier. But, like, I think that perspective represents that player, right?
Yeah.
Maybe there are – I know there's thousands and thousands of casuals who love it, and that's great.
Yeah. I don't think so, about 50,000. CJ, real quick, any more shout outs?
This is it. I wanted to give a couple people who are saying that they agreed with me a shout out. Grace. Grace Hughes said, this is awesome, but CJ got owned by Sean. That one's pretty well liked. Also, I think Lanky84 said, yeah, Sean is right. Everything is equal, a little bit undesirable. You know, I mean, there's some context.
Two for Sean.
Two for Sean. There's a couple here. Corey Lyons. Music. He's always on my side. Actually agree with CJ. They were constantly crapped on by the community with random roles. So this is kind of what we got instead. And then also Mr. I think it was Albie. CJ's right. It did come down to a few primary weapons in D1 that were very, very popular. And,
that's more fun though.
It is more fun, but this is, so,
mm-hmm. So two for Sean and two that CJ dug out of the woodwork for CJ. Got it.
The last two were, they see both sides of what we were saying.
That sounds,
Fence sitters.
That's right. Jay Thomas was saying, I do see Sean's point. However, totally agrees with CJ, whatever. And then the other one was Filthy. I'd rather have less guns with random rolls than 100+ reskinned weapons with boring perks. Yeah. And that was the one I think that kind of solidified, more of what we're thinking. We all want it to be a bit more special. And I would rather have less things to chase that were all really good than 400,000+ weapons
that all suck.
Not plus, great. That just gets so overwhelming.
Yeah.
You have that many options. Like, I would get things and I would be too scared to dismantle anything, and my vault ends up being full, and then I'm just a hoarder, right? And I have no idea what I even have.
Yeah. So I'm on the D1, I'm like, oh God, I have everything. I forgot what it was like.
Lauren, you just queued up our end, I think, which is the vault count, Dustin.
Oh, what was it? You just had 7 days last week. 1,289 days, I think.
Oh, man. No.
Yeah.
The last they fixed the vault. Upgrade.
I'm guesstimating. All right, that's the end of the show. Lauren, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find your stuff?
You can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/MissTeamKK. And thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks for coming. Of course. You were awesome.
Thank you.
All right, guys. That's it for this time. Until next time, Guardians out.
Guardians out.
The delay.
Counting. That works.
Yeah, that works.
That's great.
I like it.
It's fine.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.